Let's bring in Senator Fazio here on Brian and Company. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on. You know, before I talk about licensing fees and the public benefits charge and some other stuff, you know, it did seem to me, I want to go back like a week, I think it was like a week, right? When we talked last, it seemed that you were not privy to the deal that had been struck as it related to Pura. And I'm curious because the governor insists that Republicans were involved, but you're a key member of the crew that deals with this on the Republican side. Were any of you or your colleagues, you know, included in the discussions that led to that deal?
You're right. I was taken aback when you asked me about it last.
I apologize. I didn't know that you didn't know, so I'm sorry about that.
Well, then you got an authentic response that I didn't know, and no one in my caucus knew. So no, Senate Republicans were not involved. Quite frankly, I'm glad we weren't involved in that.
Okay, we'll move on from that. You know what? Why don't we just start with the Pura stuff? I mean, the public benefits charge. I mean, obviously, you know, very few people like it. I don't know. Will it? If you got rid of it, would it get more backlash from the utilities? And also, how much would that actually reduce people's bill?
Yeah, good question. So, just so your listeners know, Senate Bill 647, which I co-authored, is up for a public hearing this Thursday before the Energy Committee. Obviously, anyone can testify if they want. But among other things, it proposes to eliminate the public benefits charge, which, you know, can range, but generally speaking, is probably 15% to 20% of people's bills. And it funds 40-plus different programs that were passed by the state legislature related to energy, social programs, other sorts of things. It's pretty vast. Our proposal basically calls for shifting the funding for these programs from the electricity bill from ratepayers into the state budget, where it would have to go through the normal appropriations budget process, justify itself, and go from there. And it would have to come in under the spending cap like any other thing. So there would have to be reimbursement from the state for these programs to exist. But they would have to be justified through the normal budget process every 2 years, and they would come from the, you know, it's roughly $26 billion budget where they'd have to compete against other needs in our state.
What are the odds, you think, in your opinion, of that actually, of it actually happening?
Listen, I think the public's behind it. I think the odds right now that we can come to an agreement and make it happen with our Democratic colleagues is low. I'm hopeful at least we can come to a compromise and try to eliminate some of the public benefits programs and charges. They only seem to go in one direction, and that's to increase over time. And that's probably a sign that it's not working and that the process is bad. So I'm hopeful that this is the year we can at least come to an agreement to eliminate a few of them through the legislative process, even though my preference is to eliminate all of them.
You know, you talk about the partisan element of the discussion. We're talking with Senator Ryan Fazio here on Brian and Company. The licensing fee issue seems to be bipartisan, right? I mean, to make it easier, less onerous for people who are truly, you know, just striving for middle-class lifestyles and so necessary to not only our local economies, but also just, you know, the industries they work in are so vital. So that seems like you have both sides, because the governor seems to want it too.
That's right. That's a bipartisan positive. For the last 3 years, I've been introducing bills and working to cut licensing fees. Roughly 25% of Connecticut's entire workforce has to pay a licensing fee to the state government every year or every 2 years for the right to work. Those fees are normally higher than in other states. My view is, why do you have to pay a fee just for the right to work to the state government in the first place? You know, the state government should be rolling out the red carpet for people who want to work and live and raise a family in Connecticut. They shouldn't be forcing them to pay a tax just for the right to be here. So I've been proposing this for the last 3 years. This year, the governor included it in his budget, has made it a priority. He and I released a joint statement in support of cutting these fees just 2 days ago. And so I feel good that this is the year it's going to happen and hopefully provide hundreds of dollars of relief to hundreds of thousands of families in the state.
How does the state handle the lost revenue?
That's why it had to be included in the budget, in the entire budget process. There will be, you know, other revenue or other spending that is found to make up for it.
It'll be part of the budget. I got it. Senator Ryan Fazio joining us here on Brian and Company. And that one, in terms of like where it is in committee and when it would get voted on, when will we have more clarity on the future of that piece of legislation?
I think it'll really come into clearer view in May. What happens? I have my precise proposal, which is going through the general law and the public health committees. And the governor has his precise proposal, which is a little different, but not that different. So what comes out will ultimately be from the budget negotiation.
You know, I sort of have questions du jour for you know, for legislators and for the governor, and the question du jour or of the week. I don't know, my French is not very good. Is about federal money and Medicaid and how that will impact the overall budget. You talked about May. Like, we might not get clarity on what money impact or changes from the federal government for a while, right? This can really throw us for a loop budget-wise.
That's true. We'll need to make adjustments when we know them. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, really any way to anticipate, you know, changes to the national economy or to national policy. And Once it happens, we'll have to react. We always want to create a strong budgetary and fiscal footing at the state level, which is why I think the fiscal budgetary guardrails that we've had in the state for the last 7 years are so important, because it creates that sort of backstop. And we have the rainy day fund, at least. We shouldn't deplete those protections. But I don't think there's anything you can do except, you know, adjust when changes happen.
Are you worried about a lot less money coming in?
I'm not really sure. I don't think I've seen the evidence one way or the other, and it's prospective right now. I mean, you know, on one hand, yes, I'm worried about it. On the other hand, remember, Connecticut's a donor state, meaning we pay a lot more in taxes to the federal government than we get in monies back. You know, so, you know, it depends how the entirety of federal policy ends up. But, you know, yeah, the budget could have some issues, but state taxpayers could end up paying less overall. It just remains to be seen, depending on the particular policies passed.
I'm just curious, your thoughts on, you know, so this special ed deal that was made. Oh, we got ARPA money in the interest bearing account. The interest can pay the $40 million. Like, at what point are we not going to find out about this sort of like this money that we didn't know we had that we have that we can use to solve these problems?
Yeah, it's a problem. First of all, you know, again, for your listeners, there was $300 million, you know, found of, you know, interest that was made on our ARPA dollars or federal dollars over the past several years. You know, I don't think that much money should just be found under the couch cushions. We should know about these things. That's a responsibility of government, you know, I voted for the special ed funding last week, you know, because it's not, you know, technically violating the spending cap, adding another $40 million to fund special ed. The problem is now the way they're doing it is they're creating a separate account that's effectively off the budget, which is a budget gimmick in my mind. I mean, you know, you have to prioritize and pool all the money together in order for the budget kind of guardrails, like the spending cap, to really have an effect. So I actually think that this makes our budget worse. And that's ironic because the governor originally vetoed it to protect, you know, our budgetary stance, but the new compromise will actually make things worse because it creates an off-budget, which is a really bad practice.
Yeah, and then what do you do next time around? Senator Fazio, Listen, we always appreciate you coming on and giving us some clarity. I love how you clarify each issue for the listener, too, which is sometimes I gloss over and make too many assumptions. So I actually really appreciate that. Have a great day at the Capitol, sir.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Take care.